Okay, so last time we pointed out, we developed the position based on, you know, the simple read of the Gemara, that Maris Ayin, at least of Avodah Zarah, is Yaharik Vel Yavor. And we argued that the way the Ritva formulates it is, at least in the context of Avodah Zarah, Maris Ayin is internal to the prohibition, and therefore it's Abuzrayu. Yes? You're with me?
Mm-hmm.
Shimon. Who disagrees? Who takes this whole beautiful understanding that's the simple read of the Gemara, takes it, throws it in the garbage, and says, no, I don't agree. The Ron says it's not true. Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah is not Yarek Val Yavor, which tells you that, remember we said, right, we started with a Chakira. What is the nature of Maris Ayin, right? Is it simply sort of an external prohibition? Don't do something that will make someone think you're violating V'chadomeh. Or is it internal, right? Is it like a, right, internal to the prohibition? It's like a quasi-violation of the prohibition. And we said the simple Pshat Gemara is that it's internal. Right, that's why it's Yarek Val Yavor. The Ron says, absolutely not. So how does the Ron deal with the fact that our Gemara explicitly says that if you are dying from thirst, you cannot drink from the frog god? The frog water fountain god?
He says, like, if you think you're dying of thirst, then you can't.
Yeah, he says.
If you really are, then.
Yeah, he said, so he pulls one of these, it's what we say, lav davka, right? Lav davka, which is, yeah, the Gemara said you were going to die. What did it mean?
You thought you were going to die.
Maybe, possibly you were thirsty, but if your mamish going to die.
Gemara would say it.
Since mutter.
It's mamish versus you think you are. I mean, you still have the thought tent. You still have.
No, he's like, you know, you might, you something, something like that. You know.
If you think you're going to, it's a life-ending thing, you should go to the hospital.
Yinochanami.
So why?
And that's the problem, right? Meaning, what does that mean? I don't really know. But he says, you know, he's saying Ev Shur Shalavo Lide Sakara. What is it? It's not that I think I'm going to die. It's like I'm dehydrating, and if I dehydrate, I might die, right? Like that, you know, like people like freak out, right? The summer, and it's like, oh my god, I feel thirsty. I'm dying. If I don't drink right now, then I might dehydrate. If I dehydrate, I might faint, and if I faint, I might die, right? The Ron is like, no. But that doesn't count. But again, back to our original Chakira, right, the question of what is the relationship between Maris Ayin and the Isser in question. I mean, is it internal to it or not? Is it Klali, Prati, however you want to formulate it? The Ron is clearly taking position, no. Right? Maris Ayin is external to the prohibition, and that's why it is not Yaharik Val Yavor. Right? And now for him, it's easy, therefore, to explain like the position of the to explain a position like the Rush, that you're allowed to go into a church and declare sanctuary. But remember, the Rush had to bend over backwards and say, well, going to a church is not really Maris Ayin, not in the same way that drinking from...
If you're running away from people who are going to kill you, why is that breaking away from... Why is he bending it so much? Like, oh... Like,
because the Gemara seems to say that it's Yaharik Val Yavor to do anything which looks like you're worshipping. So the Rush has to say, yeah, but going into a church doesn't really look like you're worshiping in the way that...
Because someone's trying to kill you.
Yeah. What's your point? If something is pikuach nefesh, you have to die first.
He's clearly not doing it then for a purpose of idol worship.
What do you mean? He's going into the church. Who? Everybody knows he's saying sanctuary. So what? Everyone knows that he's going to declare sanctuary?
Well, doesn't he scream sanctuary?
Well, and everybody heard him say sanctuary?
Yeah. I'm thinking Hunchback of Notre Dame right now. Like, everyone.
Is everybody there? What about somebody who's a block away? He sees him go into the church.
Well, they knew that was the rule.
Yeah, but they don't know he said sanctuary.
Right. And they'd be like, ah, this guy's going to go chill up in
okay,
the church.
Look, I understand that Bisman Hazeh, if you saw your friend going into a church, your first inclination would not be he's converting to Christianity.
He got your gun. But he's trying to kill him.
But in the medieval period, it was, because it happened all the time.
Jews went into churches?
To convert.
Oh.
It's
true.
Not because
it's true. Of course it's true. It happens all the time.
They were trying to kill Jews, and therefore they ran in there for sex.
And that too. But they were always... But they often would convert to Christianity to protect themselves, right?
Like convert to Christianity? Same thing.
Convert is Yaharik Val Yavor.
Okay.
Right? That's called...
Right, that's considered...
Yeah, you should die rather than do that.
Yeah.
Even if you're heart of hearts, you don't believe in Jesus.
The same thing as the father of Karl Marx, he converted to also...
It wasn't like it wasn't just medieval, it happened to the modern period also. It's a lot of people, right? I can give you a whole book. Conversion and apostasy in the modern and medieval period. I think it, I don't know if it came out of my out of the boxes yet, but I'll lend it to you when it does. Okay, but in the medieval period, it actually was a, you know, that was actually something to be worried about. Right, nowadays, right, everyone asks, oh, can I go into a church to vote? Right, this is like the big Shiloh. It's always a big Shiloh in the post game.
Does that happen some places?
Because often the voting booths are in churches.
Yeah.
Voting booths go into, are in like public buildings. So sometimes they're in schools, sometimes they're in churches, sometimes they're in shuls, sometimes wherever.
I actually did it in my shul one time.
Okay. They just do it in like big buildings.
Like elections, I mean.
Yes. Yeah.
You yeah. vote for the president.
President, mayor, governor, whatever.
Whatever you do.
Yeah. So, like, this is always a Shiloh postgame. Are you allowed to go in? So, nowadays, right, even if you think it's Usher, right, most people, when they see you going in, don't think, oh, he's going in to convert and accept Jesus as his Lord and drink the wine and eat the Eucharist. Right? That's not like, right, the first thing you jump to. They might be like, I don't know why he's going to the church, right? But in the medieval period, there really was such a Marisayan, right? Like people, people really did this. I know it's like earth-shattering, but like,
I mean, become leave Judaism. That's I've seen that a lot.
What?
Oh no, this is like a different type of thing.
Like becoming Christian, you mean like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, no, it doesn't really happen in the modern period. Most people, if they leave Judaism, leave to become nothing.
Right.
Right.
Which is definitely much better than this.
But in the medieval period, that wasn't an option, right? There is no such thing as a secular person. There's not a thing. You had to belong to a religious community. So either you belonged to the Jewish community, or you belonged to some other community, and you know you converted out. This happened a lot.
Yeah, no one say thank God I'm an atheist.
Yeah, you can't really say that.
You'd be like a heretic.
Anyways, but so the Ron takes this whole sugya and says, forget it, right? I disagree with the whole analysis. What do I do with the Gemara? Lav Dafka. Right? Okay. The Gemara didn't really mean it. Okay? So that's point one I wanted to do today. Okay? But you understand now, what's the Ron really arguing about with everybody else? Again, is what?
The
nature of Maris Ayin and its connection
with the Avodah Zarah.
Right, with the prohibition in question, or in this case, at least specifically Avodah Zarah. Mm-hmm. Right? Where the Ron says, as opposed to the other Rishonim, that we don't view it as part and parcel of Avodah Zarah.
So he disagrees that Maris Ayin, course, it works in with... I thought it was just its own section. There's Maris Ayin, there's Avodah Zarah, and then there's Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah.
But he doesn't agree with that. He just says, no, Maris Ayin is...
He doesn't agree that this is third category.
Not kind of right now. He just says Maris Ayin is, you know, this prohibition not to look like you're violating, but therefore, if it's actually Pikuach Nefesh, it's not Avodah Zarah, it's just Maris Ayin. Right? And it's totally separate from Avodah Zarah. It has no connection. Right, the Ron is the father of the position that subsidiaries of Avodah Zarah are still Yahar Gval Yavor. He's the one who introduces the principle of Abu Zrayu, right? And he still says that Maris Ayin is not Abu Zrayu, right? It's not a subsidiary of Avodah Zarah.
What's subsidiary?
Subsidiary, a derivative, a branch. Okay.
I don't know. It still seems odd when, now that I think about it, you're only going to the church to save yourself is still a. It is Maris Ayin, but at the same time, you're going to the church. Why wouldn't it be Avodah Zarah? You're saving.
Are you worshiping?
No.
Okay, that's why it's not Avodah Zarah. It's Maris Ayin of Avodah Zarah.
Maris Ayin of Avodah. I thought you said he doesn't consider that a category.
And that's why he thinks it's mutter.
Oh, so he argues that it's mutar. Okay.
Yeah, the Ron's going to say it's mutter. That's exactly the point. Right? The Ron is going to say it's mutter. Okay. Now, so far, all the positions we've seen, though, have assumed that what is the nature of this sugya? Right? What is the isser under? What is the isser in question of going into the non-Jewish city and the like? What did everyone agree to? What's the isser in question? In other words, it's Maris Ayin, mm-hmm. Right? Who disagrees with that and says? No, the Ron agrees. No. The Ron agrees that our sugya is about Maris Ayin. He just disagrees with the implication that it's Yahar Gval Yavor, so he parries it. But he agrees that the issue at hand of going into the city, Ir Sheyesh Bavo Deskochavim, is Maris Ayin. Who disagrees? Rabbeinu Yona. Where's Rabbeinu Yona from?
Yona Land.
What?
Yona Land. Wait, Germany.
And then moved to Britain.
Spain. He's from Girona.
Three places every time.
No, that was the rush. Rabbi Yonah is from Girona. Who else? Who? He's the contemporary of who? Who lives in the same city?
We talked about him like 2 days ago.
He's like one of the most important Rishonim who ever lived, yes.
The Torah.
No, it's earlier. The Ramban.
Oh, I didn't want to say it.
The Ramban. He's a contemporary of the Ramban. You know, that person who's awesome. Right? The Ramban is just unquestionably awesome. Right?
Maimonides or Nachmanides?
Nachmanides.
Ramban.
The Ramban. No. Ramban. He did everything. He wrote Perush on Shas. He wrote Sifrei Halacha. He wrote a Perush on Tanakh, which is gorgeous. He was a Kabbalist. He was a philosopher. He was a doctor.
Crazy things as well.
Really? How many books on Tanakh did the Rambam write?
The Rambam was only exposed to Kabbalah towards the end of his life.
No, he was never exposed to Kabbalah.
There's.
I understand what the late Achorim make up, but no, he.
I can't remember who I.
Yeah, they all say no. It's not true. It's historical reconstructionism.
What does that even mean? People just lie.
No, they made things up.
It's called lying, isn't it?
They guessed. I don't know. lucky guess. Wrong, but fine. okay. But Rabbi Yonah.
Why would people see a port in doing that?
I want to make the Rambam look better than the Ramban.
No, it's because they think that Kabbalah is real, and they don't like the fact that the Rambam thought it was fake.
Kabbalah is he said it was
fake. So they
fake.
Make up that the Rambam learned it.
And changed his mind at the end of his life, correct.
Oh, they say that too?
Yeah, meaning they're bothered. Look, many Kabbalists who really respect the Rambam get very annoyed by the fact that the Rambam said that there's no such thing as Gilgulim, and it's stupid.
Wasn't there something like that? They
Right, the Rambam knew that there were people who said there were Gilgulim. Right, that there were reincarnation. He just said it's wrong. It's just not true. Bishum panim biofen lo. Right, so that bothers Kabbalists because they believe that it is true. And how could it be that the Rambam, who was such a big Talmud Chacham, rejected this like fundamental belief of Kabbalah?
Wasn't there another kind of these misconceptions? Like they thought that this rule was from the Rambam, but it was a letter that he wrote at the time he was already dead, supposedly.
We can talk about Kabbalah at some later time, but the Rambam clearly did not accept many of the assumptions of Kabbalah.
Oh, the assumptions of Kabbalah, fine.
What assumptions?
Gilgulim, that there are multiple parts to the Godhead. You know, the fundamental parts of Kabbalah.
Like, you know, the 10 things.
We're not allowed to learn Kabbalah until we're like 40.
Forever.
Okay, that's made up. That's not a thing. Never say that again.
What?
It's wrong. It doesn't exist. Thank you.
Not that when I can turn.
No, it's like, not a thing.
What?
It's not a thing.
No, you have to have
mental patterns. No, it's not a thing. It never happened. It's not a thing. Never happened. It's not a thing.
Don't answer no calls.
Yeah, I
love when everyone says, "Oh, you have to be 40," and you know what I say to them? You know what my response to it is?
It's wrong.
Yeah, you know what? You know how I prove that to them?
Because most people at 40. Don't
because the Arizal died when he was 38.
And Luke
right? You know, the person who basically is the father of Kabbalah in the last 500 years, he died before he was 40.
Okay, that's just an assumption as the mental capacity.
No, it was something made up politically after the Shabtai Tzvi disasters when the political organization that ran the Jewish community said, you know what, it's probably a good idea if we tell people to avoid Kabbalah because the people who are using Kabbalah are using it to convince people to follow a false Messiah and convert to Christianity.
So what you're saying is...
Right, because there were sects of Talmid of Shabtai Tzvi who converted to Christianity.
So there was a justice in sort of putting an age cap on the...
It was a political thing that was meant to...
That saved people from doing a Vodazara.
Oh God. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess if you do before 40,
and how often? How often?
Make a full circle.
And how often do you follow the political decisions of the Vad Arba Aratzot?
Not very much because I don't go to Harbait.
What?
You were with
Vad Arba Aratzot. It was a political organization in Poland.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't hear you say that last part. I started talking about politics.
No.
Oh my God.
No, I said.
Shim, why are you like...
Oh, God, okay.
No, because you guys hear what you want.
Yeah.
And you don't just listen to the words that come out of his mouth.
Okay.
Most of it I don't even know.
Rabbeinu Yonah.
So then just say, what is that?
Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah.
Don't make assumptions.
Okay, with that, let's get back to Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is quoted by the Rosh, and he has a totally different take on this. What does he say? He says the Issur at hand is not Marzain. What is it? Not, it's not really Marzain. What is it?
It's an issue of... Yeah, it's something to do with my... We're worried you're going to go and buy paraphernalia.
So what does he say? Harav Rabbeinu Yonah Zal Kosav Lo Asur Leilech Ela Biurid Shel Avodas Kochavim. It's not talking about going to an idolatrous city. It's going to a Yarid. What's a Yarid?
Carnival.
It's like a, yeah, a carnival.
Which
fair.
Is exactly why the Gemara wrote that.
Lefi Shavodi Kochavim Mitkabzim Mikama Mikomot. Because then the non-Jews get together. The idolaters get together from many places. The Holchim Lasham. And they go there. Why? Because you're going to look like you're going to the idol. But the problem isn't Marasign. What is it? Is the chvod of his kochavim? Meaning, think about it. Right? What's it say? What's he saying? Let's say you have a Christmas Day parade, right? And you go. You need to get the. Let's say the Christmas parade goes from 34th to 42nd Street, Naniach. Okay. You are on 34th, and you have to get to 42nd, right? That happens all the time, right? You have to get from 34th to 42nd. You're like, what is 34th and 42nd? Non-New Yorkers here. Okay, right?
The streets, numbers.
Yes, but those are like key places.
But you have zero frame of references.
Like Penn Station, Grand Central,
nope,
right?
Nothing.
Times Square, right?
Nothing.
That's what we're talking, right?
Big places.
Yeah, 34th, 42nd. Those are like big, right? So often you have to go from one to the other, right? So let's say you would, you'd say, look, I need to go from 34th to 42nd, and the parade is going in that direction. What does it look like when you walk from 34th to 42nd during that parade?
Following the parade.
Right, it's not a question of Marzain. What are you doing? Your mom is being most of kavod. Right, let's say there were 1,000 Jews who all said, you know, we've got to go daven in that shul on 42nd, right? So 1,000 Jews at the same time get up and they walk towards it. What does it look like? It's not a Marzain. It's not just Marzain. It's like it's a mamish a kavod to the Christmas Day parade.
So the problem is not even is just giving kavod to something.
Yeah, meaning it's go right. Yes, it's looking like you are aggrandizing the avodah zarah. Right? It's not Marzain. It's that it actually looks. It actually you're adding to the spectacle, right? You're adding to the prestige. And therefore he says Aval Le'ir Sha'osin Shem Yom Eidam, to just go into a regular city that happens to be a holiday, Vein Holchin Shem Yishar Mekomos Lomot Sinu Sha'asur Le'lech Shem. So that's not Usur. It's not Usur to go to a place, a city of Avodah Zarah, even on their holiday, right? It's Usur to go in such a way that your presence contributes, right? So right, what's he saying? Until now the Rishonim said it was an issue of Marzain. Rabbeinu Yonah says, not an issue of Marzain, it's an issue of contributing your prestige by your very presence. But therefore, you're just going to a city, right? That's like saying, oh, I'm going to go to Times Square on Christmas. That's not us, sir. No one thinks you're honoring, right, Christmas, right? You're going to Times Square. Why? I don't know. Because there's the M&M store.
Like
it's a great place to go on a date. I don't know. Right?
M&M's. Rabbi Rockefeller Center.
I know all the.
No, no, it really is. It really is a great place to go.
It is.
It really is. I've gone on multiple dates.
This is why Mark says you can't go to.
I went once when I was dating Aura, and we went even after we were married. It's like a lot of fun. It's
wait,
like,
and that's
there's like three or four floors. It's like a whole like.
I mean, it's M&M. I just can't think of how much can you do with M&M.
There's a lot to do.
And that's why the Gemara says
and that's why you non-New Yorkers have to come visit New York. Right?
I used to go to New York all the time.
Good, so go to the M&M store.
And that's why the Gemara says
Rabbi, did you ever go to Estichana?
Correct, what?
Did you go to Estichana?
Yeah, I think I did at some point.
That's why the Gemara says you can't go into the Avodah Zarah.
Well,
yeah, and they're like to the prestige of it. No, it's like
exactly.
Okay.
Right. I mean, but it's not a Marzain question, right? It's
they have the guy making.
That's why you can't go into the Avodah Zarah city, right?
Exactly. Okay. Right. So he said a regular Avodah Zarah city is not a problem.
So
right. What did he say? He said a regular Avodah Zarah city isn't a problem. Right. The issue is what. No, even on the holidays it's not a problem. It's only a place where they're making a party. They're doing a carnival. That's the thing. It's only when there's your read. He said, to go into a city on Christmas, big deal. But to go to the Christmas Day parade, right?
So, like, you can go to your work's Christmas, when your work is a Christmas party.
I did not say that. I did not say
that's
that.
A different problem.
Did not say that. I'm going to deal with that at the parent-child learning on January 1st. Right.
January 1st, midwinter. Parents won't be tuning in. Because they'll be skiing.
Okay, fine.
They torture me with it every week through the winter. I hate it.
Well, just such a Colorado.
You don't get to go
skiing. That's so Denver.
So sad.
Are you skiing or snowboarder?
Snowboarder, obviously.
Yeah, honestly. Like, I could have guessed that.
Obviously, I'm a snowboarder.
So, like, when I was, like, this is like the way Torontonians are about skating. Like, you have to, like, skate when you're three. Like, my kids had to learn to skate right away. They get them hockey skates. You know, and they make fun of all the people who are like, oh my god, you people rent skates. You go to indoor skating rinks.
Florida doesn't have snow, I'm sorry.
We just have to go to the frozen, we just have to walk around where the parking lot freezes over. Like, my father-in-law literally had one in his backyard. Like, they just, like, you know, just let the backyard freeze over.
Oh, I thought, like, you poured water on the...
You don't need to... Last winter, there were like 3 weeks where it didn't go above like negative 35. You don't need to do anything. It will, if there's anything, it'll freeze over. Okay. Can someone get me the Ritva and Meiri?
Sure.
Meiri is on Regensburg's desk, so just sort of ask him if you can take it. I know he's in the middle of here. Yeah. But that is Rabbeinu Yonah.
But he just
now, by the way,
he doesn't think there's Maariv Ayin in any of this.
He said that's not the issue, or that the issue at hand isn't Maariv Ayin. Now, I gave you, by the way, this is one of those things you should know. In general, often, if you want to find a summary of the Rishonim that's written in very easy Hebrew, you know where you can look? Hint, it's on the sheet. The tour! Again, who wrote the tour? Who wrote the tour? Reb Yaakov.
Balaturim.
Balaturim, the son of.
Sure lost name.
The Rush. He's the Rush's son.
Right.
Yaakov ben Asher.
Right.
Are you going to
now,
do this over and over again?
I know, I'm going to keep going through it, fine.
You and me both.
So let me just read you. The Meiri also quotes this. And he says, V'yesh mefarshe mishnasenu biyahud. He said, some say that it's only talking about a fair, a carnival. But he says, where does he get that from?
Meiri's actually going to help us figure out.
Right? He says, because it's in the Tosefta. Shemash Amru b'Tosefta yarud shebetocha krach. When you have a carnival affair in the city, tocha krach aser chutzal amuter v'chutzal krach tocha krach muter v'kol achar hayu kol echad sheyirud yom eid haya upnei zeh amru sham yirud shnasamachu minina umedina muter in Israel shalav v'dezaro shem mitan meches cheinir mitamad marav and that. But he adds another explanation. He says it might be this is also based on the next mishnah, which is a third possibility. It's not about Maariv Ayin, and it's not about looking like you're part of it. So there's another problem, which is meches. What's meches? Taxes. That if you go to the fair, you're going to end up paying
taxes,
and the taxes are going to... It's the idolatry fundraiser.
And you can't control that.
Yes, you can. You could not go.
Oh, I thought you meant like the city parade. Like New York does a city parade. Those are based on the city's taxes.
No, but he's saying no. He's giving a third reason. Why might you not be able to go to these avodah zarah carnivals? Because you're going to end up buying things, and the things are going to be, and the tax, the profit is going to go
to pay the people.
It's the annual fundraiser, right? You can't go to the annual, you know, Zeus fundraiser, like, come, you're like, oh my god, they have that, I don't know what, they have the newest iPhone that I wanted on a discount, yes, because it was donated by the, you know, that manager at, you know, Apple, who is a Zeus worshiper, and, you know, all proceeds go to Zeus, right, you can't do that.
What about like a concert that's,
this Mishnah, no, that's fine, but the Big Shy.
Like, you want to get his
the Big Shiloh, the Big Shiloh, based on the next circuit, he's already anticipating, is what about the thrift shops that go to the church. Right? Half these thrift shops fund the different Christian charities.
They're funded by, or they fund?
No, they fund. People donate their old clothes, and they sell them for a profit, and the money goes to the church.
Oh, okay.
Right?
They take a little bit, obviously, to keep themselves in business.
Okay, fine. But I'm saying, be caron, you're supporting a church.
Oh, God.
Okay.
That actually happened. There was a carnival by my house.
Splash face of water on the
church down the road.
Now then he notes the other possibilities. That it's based on Mara's Ayin. And based on Mara's Ayin things, so we've already seen some of the exceptions, right? And this is, right, we've seen some of them in the Rishonim, but the Torah gives a summary, as does he, that if you think the issue is Mara's Ayin, so it might only apply if what? Right, remember, we saw of it. If it's all about Mara's Ayin, how might you solve the problem going to the city?
If there's Jews out there.
If Jews live there, right? Because the Jews who live there might be allowed to go home because everyone just assumes they're going home. So according to some Mepharshim, even a guest might be allowed to go. Why? Because once there are Jews living there,
it doesn't look like
you're, then it'll look like you're visiting the Jews, not the Avodah Zarah. Now the Bach qualifies this and says it might be that there have to be multiple Jews living there.
Right?
Because like, there's one Jew that lives in a city of a million, right? So when some other Jews come in, what is everyone going to assume they're doing? Going to the Avodah Zarah. Right? Because not everybody knows that there's one Jew in whatever. If there's a shul, right, there's enough people, there's a group, so then people say, oh, okay, fine. You know, he's not going to the Vatican, he's going to the shul in Vatican City. You know, I don't know.
I always wondered.
I don't know if there's a shul in Vatican City. I'm giving an example.
Yeah, no, I'm saying.
I don't want to get into whether it's mutter to go to Vatican City or not. I know Max wants to get into this, and eventually he will. You know, can you visit the Sistine Chapel? Okay, we'll get to it.
My brother also. It's like, when I get older, I want to live in Vatican City. I'm like, why?
Why? Because I want to live in a real monarchy. That's why. It's not a constitutional monarchy, it's a real monarchy with a king.
He has no legit reason, he's like, it's the smallest.
And the king is the
world.
Pope, just if in case that wasn't clear to you, the king is the Pope, right? In case you really wanted to live in, you know, that's my deep, yeah, I have such a yetzahara. Oh, I want to live under the papal monarchy.
Maybe there's a Chabad group there, somewhere in a house.
Chabad house.
In the Vatican, yeah, you know.
We're everywhere.
Wait, are you a convert? Are you actually Jewish? I heard there were certain cardinals that are actually Jewish.
Put your tefillin on today.
Yeah. They do the work of God. Okay. Fine. Now, the Ritva...
Is this the same one we already did?
So I put one keyword there. Did you see what that keyword was? Hemshech. You know what Hemshech means? Continue. The continuation, right? So he says... V'yesh Sheperish. He gives yet another explanation. V'yesh Sheperish. B'mishner Seinu.
Shas the yeshivas. This one's Nachum's. Why don't I just forget the yeshivas and follow along?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now, obviously, right, these issues, again, I said, our eventual goal in these sugyas, from a halachic perspective, is to get to the potential problems in churches, right? But what we're doing now is the first major series of prohibitions that people bring up is on this sugya, the chashad issues, right? Is are you allowed to go into a church because it's creating the... Correct. Now, I'll point out that there are certain poskim, especially there were certain poskim, you know, and this was a big deal 50 years ago, who said that based on this prohibition, right, what is usher? Going into where, right? What did many 20th century poskim forbid for the same prohibition? Going into where?
Nope.
No. Non-Orthodox shuls.
Like reform
ones.
Yes,
like women do everything.
Doesn't matter what they do there.
I'm just saying.
Soloveitchik didn't, right, said publicly that if you had two choices, being yotze your mitzvah d'oraisa of tkia shofar in a conservative shul, or not being yotze, right, there was nowhere else to hear it.
Don't be yotze.
Don't go. Right, like that's how extreme he felt about this, because he said. The Reb Soloveitchik. Like the YU one. Not the Haredi ones. The YU one.
Yosef Dov.
The grid.
JB.
Same person. And he was very, and he said why? Based on these Yisurim, right? Based on Maris Ayin, he also felt that part of his opposition was that he felt that the non-Orthodox denominations had Christianized Judaism. That was part of his, you know, contention, that they had Christianized Judaism, and therefore he thought it was on this category. Now, I don't want to get into that figure right now, but do you understand that once you're talking about Maris Ayin, right, at a certain level, those are much worse, mm-hmm. right? Because realistically, in the 21st century, you know, people, when they see you going to a church, they probably don't think you're going to convert, right? But if they see you going to a non-Orthodox synagogue, they might think you're going in to participate and to daven and that you actually agree with it and you think it's not wrong, right? You understand where someone would come from with these prohibitions, right? Again, I'm not going to get into right, wrong, whatever, the machlokot that arose, but you understand where it comes from.
So what do you think that would be? I mean, that's its I'm not saying I like church,
the Rav might have thought that.
You're not going to hear shofar in a church.
I mean, that was just his way of saying it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
That was right. That's just a way of saying bad, really bad, really, really bad, really, really usher, right? Fine. Ritva then says, "V'yesh sheperish." Now, who's the yesh sheperish?
That's
we don't know.
No
matzadi, right? Good. The footnote says, "I don't know who this is exactly." Right, Moshe Goldstein.
It's a trick question.
Just follow the footnote to where he says, "I don't know who that is." Shafilu ein kan makom chshad asur. Now, what's weird is that I'm pretty sure I do know who this is, which is Rabbi Hanina. I just don't know if he understood Rabbi Hanina this way. He says that even if there's no chshad, it's asur. Lifisha osa sham asufa virobam. Because what are you doing? You're making it that there's a bunch of people there. Shehu kavod lavo dezarishem is asim. I'm Rav. And it's just honorable for the Avodah Zarah that a lot of people there. I would have said it's Rabbi Yona. What? Business. Merchandise.
It's a different story. I'd say it's two different things.
So that's the question, right? Because Rabbi Yona,
right? Is specifically saying the merchandise, supporting it.
No, that's the second one. So that's the thing. What do you think? Rabbi Yona
seems to be, he's very...
So this is the problem. Rabbi Yona, you could read in different ways. Right? I mean, he says that it is nira ke'echod mehem, but I think...
It's nira ke'echod mehem, but he's saying people are going to see and it looks like you're taking part in it.
Right, so...
And you're going to support them. This is saying you're going to like add to the amount and it'll look like Rov'am.
Right, so the question is, what does Rabbi Yona really mean? Meaning, what Shimon is saying is, and I assume this is what the footnoter wants, is Rabbi Yona...
He wants to say that they're two different things.
Right, I mean, he wants to say that, what's Rabbi Yona? Rabbi Yona is... He's not chshad. It's like a different type of chshad.
Right.
Right? But the way I read Rabbi Yona is that, no, this is exactly what he's saying, is that nirak echad mehem isn't that it's Maris Ayin. It's that you look, right? They look at... The reporters come and they say there were 47,000 people at the parade today. Right? They're not medayik, right? Whether it's... It's not a Maris Ayin question. When they look, they're not asking, okay, how many people were there because of the Avodah Zarah? And how many people were there because the 1,000 Jews need to walk from 34th to 42nd to go to shul? Right? It makes it feel full.
I don't know, even nowadays on the news you probably hear. And then there were 1,000 Jews all walking behind.
Yeah, so I tend to think that this formulation, the Ritva, is actually Rabbeinu Yonah. But if it's not, then what I present to Rabbeinu Yonah is this Yeshu Pershu. Right? That the issue isn't Maris Ayin at all. It's that your very presence sometimes simply adds to the... Yeah, the gravitas of the event,
are we going back to Rabbeinu Yonah now?
So that's what I think. I think the Ritva's Yeshu Pershu is that Rabbeinu Yonah, but again, it's not totally clear, but in the Ritva, it's totally clear that that's what he's saying. Right? That it's not about Chshad, it's not about Maris Ayin. What it's about is that you're actually, in a certain sense, participating. Right? You're, in a certain sense, actually participating.
Oh, God. Just crawl out of the rope. That was so friggin' scary.
What's up?
Oh, my God. That was so scary. Oh.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
What the hell's at the end of it?
It's a stinger.
That's a stinger?
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably...
You step on it. There you go.
Again. Okay. Fine. So
still moving.
What? This thing is not giving
it's
up.
It's Satan. This is one of those things where, like, on the recorder, what are they looking at? It's just a bug. It's
there
just a bug, people.
And we stepped on it numerous times, and it just didn't stop. It wasn't giving
just
up.
Just didn't want to die. It okay, fine.
Oh, and for frame of reference, the bug crawled out of the Ritva.
Yes. It was a Gilgul, someone who didn't learn enough Ritvas in his life, so he was punished to turn back into a bug.
To live in the Ritva.
Yes. Until one day when he could learn this Ritva, learn this Shita, and then he could be freed and go back. We've just freed him of his miserable trapped life in a bug. Okay.
Well,
there's
no,
my.
I don't think we did. I think he hadn't learned all he needed to learn.
He tried to come back.
That's why
he
just kept trying to
learn. Okay, fine. Okay. Now, if you look. Okay. Now if you looked at the tour
of my arm.
Now, guys, for future reference, guys, listen. For future reference,
yes.
When I give you a tour at the end or something like that, the reason probably is because the tour gives you a nice summary. Because I know that it's hard to read some of these Rishonim. But you know who is not hard to read?
The tour.
Right? Because the tour, I'll read through it quickly for you because he gives you a summary.
This is not the same Kufmem test, no?
Yeah.
It's the one you gave us yesterday.
Yeah, and what does he do? He summarizes. I didn't give you all of it then. But yeah. But basically, he summarizes all these positions. And who do you think he summarizes? Who do you think he summarizes? The Rush, the Rajba, Rabbi Yonah. Look at that. Look at that. Fine. Okay. Now, according to both the Rush, Ritva, according to the Mars Ayin Camp, or the way I'm understanding Rabbeinu Yonah, or this Yesha Perish from the Ritva, that it's not about Mars Ayin, that it's about actually participating, right? There's yet a third. What are neither of them saying? Neither of them are saying that what? Neither of them said it's also to go into a year of Avodas Kochavim. Why? Because it's in the year of Avodas Kochavim.
Right.
I mean, neither of them accepted that. Right? The Ritva, sorry, the Rush, and the Rosh, all the Mars Ayin people, they say, it's a problem Mars Ayin. So, if Jews live in the city, it's mutter. Right? What does that mean? What does that tell you? If Jews live in the city and it's mutter, what does that tell you? It's clearly not a fundamental problem about living there.
Right?
If it was a problem of living in an Ir Shavuot Kochavim, living there would be worse than visiting. But from a Mars Ayin perspective, it's the other way. Because if you live there, so everybody knows, you're not an idol worshiper, you just happen to be the janitor in the, or you're the lawyer. Right? You're the lawyer for the city. Right? Whatever, you're the doctor.
The accountant. Let's play the full stereotype.
Whatever, you're, you know, so everybody knows. So ironically, living there is better than visiting. And then, as we saw in the Rishonim, they make all types of exceptions. If there's a Jewish community living there, so then you can visit. Because then everyone just assumes you're visiting the Jewish community. If you're traveling, you're a part of a shayara, a caravan. Right? So some of the Rishonim say, oh, then it's mutter. Why? Because everybody knows that the caravan is just stopping in. Right? They're not stopping because it's Vatican City. They're stopping because they're walking along and they needed to restock on water. Right? Restock on bread, whatever. Right? All those kulot are based on the assumption the issue at hand is Mars Ayin. Then there's Rabbeinu Yonah, which is not about Mars Ayin, it's about participating in the idolatrous festival. And therefore, he says it's only usher if when? If what?
If you're
going there when? Not to a stam city.
During the
festival. But there's a third possibility, which is that there's a fundamental problem with walking into a base of Avodah Zarah or even in the ear of Avodah Zarah because it's anathema.
Anathema.
Can we get like the dumb people English translation? Yeah.
Anathema. That's a dumb English word.
There's
for you.
No dumb
it's disgusting.
Version.
Yeah, it goes against our core, right? It's like
anathema,
right? It's fundamentally right? Anathema is more than like disgusting. It's like it goes against my very identity, my very core, right?
Eating
pig. An anathema. It's like it's
everyone knows that about a Jew. You don't eat pig.
It's anathema. It's just like. It's or in Yiddish, it's pasnished, right? Like, mom, it's not what we do, right? Pasnished might not be strong enough, but,
it's an
right?
Anathema when the guys show
so who
like
says
the
that?
Chakras.
Who says that that's the issue?
Rashba.
Nope. It's a Rishon I told you to read on the Sugya, but you haven't done yet. Who is? an important dude.
Rambam.
Yeah, him. Yeah, him. Oh. Maimonides.
Yeah, I've been told.
you know, the Rambam.
I've been told he's pretty cool.
Right? So the Rambam in Perush Mishnayos. Did anyone get to it?
Well, we were about to, and then you said, no, do like everything first.
yeah. Because you see, these are really three different models. The Rambam says what? The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos says something quite striking. The Rambam says... Oh, please tell me. You want to read it?
Sure.
Oh, there we go.
You got it?
You got... Everyone have the Rambam? Perush HaMishnayos la Rambam? Everyone have it?
Wake up.
Come on, open it up. It's in the back of your Gemaras.
Oh, it's here. I
have
to get a Rambam.
Perush HaRambam. Right, that's the one that should make you feel inferior. Why? Because he wrote it when he was your age.
Okay. I feel it. I'm very inferior to any Amora or Tana. They're probably...
Right, like the Mishnah Torah he wrote, he was a little bit older. But the Perush HaMishnayos he wrote, he was like a teenager and then into his 20s. He finished when he was like 25. Yeah. That's when I feel inferior. Good. You found it?
Mm-hmm.
What page is it in that Gemara?
These kinds of things.
This one?
Does it say Perush HaMishnayos?
I just see Rambam.
No, that's the Ein Mishpat HaMoleh.
Mine says Sadi Dalit.
Okay. Mine says also. Yeah. Or 186.
Where do they put it here? Where do they put it in this one? Maybe they put it after this. Let's see. What do they add this Yalkut Mefarsh in here? I'm going to put it somewhere different. It's right before the riff in the Red Gemaras.
Yeah?
Yeah, like literally, it's like over two pages. It's right before the riff.
No, yeah, there we
yeah,
go.
You like, yeah, almost done.
Yeah, okay. Got it?
Yeah.
So... So let's see what he says. The Rambam says, "Ir sheish ba'avodas kochavim."
City in which there.
Shimon, take it away.
Ir sheish ba'avodas kochavim. Amru, mahu leilech l'sham shishim osa derech.
Sheyasim osa.
Sheyasim osa derech leilech misham lezul.
Lezul osa.
So.
Can you
go there?
Right, to make it a way to go from there to somewhere else.
Ah,
I mean, you can use it as a shortcut, right?
Because it's usher to enter the city. Sheish ba vodas kochavim, where they do the vodas zara. Kol shekein lodur ba.
He said because you aren't allowed to go into it, and you aren't allowed to live there.
Right. Kol shekein lodur ba. You're not allowed, I guess, do business.
And even more so, you can't do business, right? You can't visit. You can't walk into it. You can't do business with it. Why?
Nuyos meutaros to noyos pa'ir shemayfin osam.
Shemayfin osam be'ezem min mimine hanoi. Shiasa kol avodz kochavim.
Therefore,
but you can't do business with all these stores that are decorated in a way that's decorated for the idol.
Interesting.
Okay.
That's an interesting thing.
Right, which that's the next Mishnah. So everything in the city is
Aser
for Now listen to this. Listen to this halacha, Rambam. Not like some Shita Nidacha. You know, like Nidach. They never heard of. This is Rambam. The Rambam says, "Lefichach, listen to this."
Yudea,
listen.
Yudea lecha shekol.
Right. What is Yudea lecha?
You will know.
You should know.
Yeah, the Rambam saying, "Listen up."
He does
right?
all the time.
Yudea lecha, I want you to know.
Just know. Shekol ir shel uma sheyi elahem ba beis tifla shu beis avodas kochavim Lo Safek Osa Ha'ir. Aser Lavaba Bekavana. V'kol Shekein Ladorba.
What does that mean?
That means that if this is some form of city.
Any city that has a church.
Based Tifla.
Right? Or a temple of an idol. But remember, the Rambam thinks that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. So any city in the world which has a church, you can't go to it, you can't live in it, ever. Any city in the whole world.
That's why.
Yes, this is the Rambam.
Maybe you would say about
and what does he say?
He says,
Aval.
Bekavana.
Right, Bekavana, right? You can't intentionally make your way to that city.
Oh, fine.
Right? The Kolshagin Ladruba. For sure you can't live in such a city, right? Now, remember, this is a totally different concept. According to the Rosh said, oh, you can live there, you just can't visit.
Right.
Right? The Rambam says, no, this isn't a Mar Zion issue. This isn't a... You can't be in a city which is idolatrous ever under any circumstances ever.
To be in there.
What?
This is including the idea of
visit, live, business, ever. If there's a single church in the city, you can't live in the city.
No, but what he says is just to pass through the city, not allowed also.
Right. You can't pass through it, you can't live there, you can't do business. Right. Right? And then he says, Aval anachnu. He said, but what are we going to do? Tachas yedeyem. What are we supposed to do? We're suppressed by the non-Jews, Bavon Oseinu, in our sins. The Shochan Bahartsam. Anusim. We live there under coercion. Where else are we going to go? Viniskayem Banu Mashanemar. So you might think the Rambam would say, okay, so it's Mutter, we don't have a choice. What does he say?
That's not how the Rambam
says. And therefore, this is a kiyum of a curse. Va'avadtem Sham Elohim, that you will worship the idols. Maise Yede Adam Va'evan. Right? This is a curse that you, against your will, you are an idol worshiper. Right? Against your will, you are essentially an idol worshiper. Deal with it. V'imair Dino Cain, and if that's true of the whole city, Kalvachomer Din Base Ovid Kochavim. Atmo, Shu Aser Lanu Kimat Liroto. So for sure, the church itself, which you shouldn't even be able to look at, Vakolshagain Likon Hisbo, and for sure not to go into it.
Jeez. Well, I guess.
Yeah. Now, where does the Rambam get this notion?
I guess we're all going to end up living in Israel.
So where does the Rambam get the notion that the issue at hand is not Mar Zion and is not participating in the holiday festival, but is a blanket issur to stay as far as possible from a church or a city with a church or anything like that, that you can't go there, you are essentially an idol worshiper, you can't look at it? Where does he get this from?
You're asking what the rule is if it's not Mar Zion or Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, what is the principle? How does the Rambam say it is usher to live in a city? Where is it from?
I think it's usher to...
I'm going to give you a hint just to look at the sheet I give you. The answer is...
The Gemara.
The Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Tzayin Amud
Beis. Oh, wow. Surprise. And we haven't done it yet.
Good. But I wanted to set up the Rambam because the Rambam is the one who connects our sugya to the sugya later on, just a few daf later, which introduces this fundamental prohibition of participating in any way, shape, or form in any place where there might be an idol. And that's what we're going to have to do tomorrow, is look at that Gemara. But yes, do you understand the difference in tone here between the Rush, Rabbeinu Yonah, people like that who are like, yeah, you know, whatever. And the Rambam was like, yeah, all you who live in Chutz Laaretz, you are all basically idolaters. That's what he says. He says, you are v'avatem sham Elohim ma'aseh yedei adam.
While living where?
Egypt. Because he lived amongst Muslims, which he was totally okay with.
Right. Classic.
Yep.
Maybe there's a